Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. In case you're interested, and you may be since you listen, the swell is in. If you're swimming in the ocean on this 4th of July weekend, be careful. I haven't seen a surf this tricky since December when we had hard rain. So just keep that in mind. That aside, good morning. I'm going to go after genetic testing today. I've got to straighten the score on this. I've got to give you a better understanding of what's coming down the pipe increasingly, meaning more and more you're going to be told by your doctors that the cause of your disease, especially cancer, and I'm going to focus around cancer, especially since tomorrow we're doing a large seminar at one of the local hotels on how to prevent it as best you possibly can, living in this day and age. So I'm going to kind of revolve the show around cancer, but really fundamental to cancer is an understanding of what we mean by genetics, DNA, chromosomes, genes. And to cut to the chase, what I want to give you an alternative view on is the fact that we've grown accustomed to thinking that because somebody says it's in your DNA, it's genetic, it automatically means you're dead. It automatically means you can't do anything about it. And that's kind of understandable. It's understandable in the sense that we all understand that genes, DNA, have a lot to do with heredity. And heredity is something you get and you don't change. So if your eyes are blue and both your parents have blue eyes, somebody says your eyes are blue. Of course they're blue. You inherited that from your parents, and you assume that's it. And you're right. You can't do anything. Your eye color is your eye color. If you're 6'9" and your parents are each 6'9", you decide through education in the common vernacular of our society that you inherited that. Now, that's all true. The scam, the catch, the misconception is that when you get a disease, when you get, and I said I'll revolve it around cancer, when you get something like cancer as one of the many diseases I could use, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and some doctor tells you, when you look up in disbelief and say, how did this happen? Now, and this is more and more the case, they're going to tell you it's genetic. And that's the nail in your coffin. Wrong. Misconception, scam, poor science, ignorance. Don't buy that garbage. Okay, now why do I say that? I say that because, yes, your doctors are correct when they tell you that there's been some shift in your DNA sequences, in the way your DNA translates and makes its proteins, in the way your DNA, your genes run the show. There's been some shift there that will influence and create the disease. That's correct. But that is a pattern that's written in stone, that it's solidified, that just like that inherited eye color, that's the way it is. Case closed. That's the understanding. Goodbye. That's the scam. Okay? You got to let that one sink in. Now, why is this so relevant now, more than 10 or 15 years ago? Because we're exploding in our understanding of genetics and how changes in DNA sequences and different triggers from different genes through different sequences of triggers accommodate, facilitate, or even create disease. We're getting more understanding of this because our technologies have improved so much. And so on the tip of everybody's tongue in medicine is, hey, it's genetic. You're the layperson. That means that's something I can't do anything about. Now, they're completely incorrect by this. And they know they're incorrect. And I'm telling you the truth. Three quarters of your medical doctors, at least, that are using these terminologies don't understand them themselves. They're not geneticists. They don't have real educations. They're just parroting the local seminar. So there's this breach in communication between the institutions we trust and you. You, again, understand it as this impregnable law of my eyes are blue, my dad's eyes were blue, it's inherited, it's the genes, yeah, it's all that stuff, and I got it now, and that's the nail in my coffin. No. So let's get into this. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's substantiate the claim that there's another perspective here, and it comes out of education. And this is the thing. And I'll be harping on this theme for a while, possibly forever. It interests me. What's happening in genetics to me is like what happened to and with the computer 40 years ago. 40, 45, 50 years ago, when the computers were in their early phases, if you were in college, you might be a computer science major. You were doing all sorts of stuff, learning Fortran and all the languages back then. And I remember these guys in my, you know, in the dorms in college, and they would sit there in front of these massive TV sets, so to speak. I mean, this would seem like science fiction to your average 8-year-old today. But you guys remember. And who was interested in computers in 1975, 1980? Not you. Most people were. It wasn't the game. But look what happened. Today you have to. If you're 90 years old, you better understand computers. If you're 80, if you're 70, there's no excuse anymore. And everybody's doing it, and it's a beautiful thing. That's what's going to happen in genetics. Genetics is that big. It's that big. 1900 to the year 2019, there have been two massive shifts in the world. One was all the quantum physics, you know, the Einstein, Oppenheimer. And that kind of divvied itself into the nuclear bomb, the nuclear age. And it's not exactly popular. It was. When we split the atom, I mean, it was the beginning of the new age. There was another one in the 50s when Watson and Crick, when they discovered in conjunction with Rosalind Franklin, Maurice Wilkins, when they figured out that the structure of the DNA molecule was double helix. Those were the two big ones. The last 120 years of science come down to those two big movements. And then DNA disappeared. 1960, 1970, 1980, nobody talked about it. It wasn't interesting. Whether we or the Soviets were going to blow ourselves off the map was a lot more relevant. And that's the way it went. So if you picked up in 1960, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, your local newspaper, everybody was talking about the bomb. And the bomb was a derivative of splitting the atom. And names like Einstein and Planck and Heidegger and Schrodinger and Oppenheimer, those were big names. Watson and Crick, they were secular. They were just in the corner. 1970, 1980, genetics disappeared from the map. When Clinton, President Clinton at the time, gave Francis Collins and Craig Venter this huge award for mapping the human genome, science got very interested in genetics because we had been delivered a tool now that could revolutionize our understanding of everything. Everything. I mean, look at it. 23andMe. Ancestry.com. You see? It's coming. More than that it's coming is it's going to get bigger. And we've got a brave new world sort of cloud looming, you know? You see this in banking. The bankers are trying to get rid of money. There's no two ways about it. Now, I went to Bank of America the other day where I hold one of my accounts to withdraw $1,000. The machine wouldn't let me. So I went up to the teller and the teller said, well, you can't take $1,000 out anymore, Dr. Medici, because of the bad guys. And I said, what are you talking about, the bad guys? Well, you know, the bad people, the bad guys. This is the teller. You have to take it out in $400 bundles now. And banking does a million things. And what's behind it, Wall Street Journal publishing an article, is they don't want you using cash. That's an Orwellian, Huxleyan prediction. Any of you into Revelation? It's here. The other thing that's here, and this is the crux of the show, only 12 minutes into the show. What's also here that's very Orwellian is that increasingly you're going to be given an argument that from the day you're born, your genes are so influential that ultimately, outside of these alterations that science is going to suggest you make, like cutting your breasts off because you've got the BRCA mutation, it's Angelina Jolie, that your destiny really is sealed. And that your disease, Mrs. Smith, is in your genetics. And we can find the gene. We can find the mutation. These are powerful arguments. And yet, they're bogus. Now, why are they bogus? All right. By the way, this will be the subject of interest tomorrow at the seminar. I can only give you so much in a half an hour. Why are they bogus? Why is DNA not, and genetics and the mutation they found, not the reason you've got the disease? Why is this so ambiguous? It's ambiguous because in every cell, if somebody says you have brain cancer, better yet, if somebody says you have liver cancer, that means if we go in to your liver cell, the normal one, and we take out the DNA of your cell, which is in the nucleus of the cell. Now, come on, that's basic grammar school science. That you've got. You understand that. We take out the nucleus of that cell in your liver, the normal cell, not the one with the tumor in the liver. And we take out that DNA. It represents a string of little beads, and each bead is called a nucleotide. And each nucleotide has a different letter on it, an A, a T, a C, or a G. A, T, C, or G. So we've got 3 billion nucleotides spanning 6 feet in length from one liver cell. And each of those beads is a different letter, A, T, C, or G. The way it codes out, the, in other words, the way you read it, the letters, A, T, C, G, 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 C, T, A, T, C, A, G, the way it reads, all 3 billion, is your sequence. And when, along the way, one of those letters is out of place, meaning if the sequence was supposed to be A, T, C, G, and instead it was A, T, T, G, the C was replaced by a T. We call that a mutation. It's called a pinpoint mutation. And if it just so happened that that change in the nucleotide was along that 6 feet sequence, if it just happened to be at a certain place along that 6 feet of sequence that controlled your cell cycle, the rate at which your cells multiply, that could trigger a cancer. And if we can prove that that sequence has been altered through different tests, and that that particular sequence controlled your rate of replication, and now you have an out-of-control replication state, meaning your liver cells are just multiplying so rapidly, we call it cancer, then we'll tell you that you have cancer and that it's the product of a mutation, and we can measure it with our testing. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you, Joe Public? It means when the doctor huffs up in his white coat in the worst day of your life and says, you've got a malignancy, and we know where and why, and we know what's off in the genetics. If they even go that far, or if you ask and they tell you, we can see it in the gene, we've profiled the tumor, you inherited it from your grandmother. This is reality, guys. This is what they do. I have clients and they're sitting there in abject fear being told this. And it is grossly, grossly ambiguous. When you're told that we've identified a defective sequence and that explains it to you, it means that's it. It's genetic, like I have blue eyes. And that's not true. Now that's the scenario. What is true? All right, this is what's true. Number one, those mutated sequences can reverse themselves. They do all the time. That's number one. Number two, before you get a defective sequence, there are 50 other sequences. There are dozens of other sequences that have to create that defective sequence they can measure. And guess what? We don't know what they are. We know something about them. But for every cancer, it's different. By the time you get a defective nucleotide sequence controlling the replication rate of a cell, there's many other sequences that satellite around it that have to also mutate, that mutate from normal to abnormal to normal, to that mutate all the time. And doctors and geneticists and scientists don't know what those sequences are. The peripheral sequences to the expression of a disease are not understood. That's cutting edge work. And that those other peripheral sequences may well be under the control of stuff like lose some weight or give up cigarettes or stop worrying or move from the Long Beach Torrance area to somewhere up in Big Sur or get happy or start laughing more or any one of the millions of things that you can do can have massive influence on these peripheral sequences before that specific sequence goes defective. And that's what's being left out. So what your doctor should say is, I'm sorry, you got something heavy here. We can read the defect in the DNA. But what produced that is under the control of many other genes. Now, scientists have a word for that, and I hate to use the word because holistic medicine is unfortunately bastardizing the meaning of that word. And that word is epigenetic. The field of epigenetics is trying to tell you that your mutations are controlled by other mutations, which may well be under the control of your life choices. But the reason that holistic medicine kind of bastardizes the word epigenetics is because sometimes those peripheral sequences are also inherited and defective and represent real breaches in your genetics, meaning real breaches in your inheritance, real defects in your inheritance. Sometimes, but sometimes not. It's like the American government, the political system. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, the two conflicting parties, both sides are telling the truth and both sides are lying. It just depends on what subject you pick. And it's only an educated public that can really distinguish between who's telling the truth in a given moment and who's lying. And the same thing occurs in science. We have scientists who are going to tell you the DNA is muted and that's the end of you. Just take drugs, do such and so forth, and pray. And then you have the holistic crowd coming in and giving you a rah-rah about how tomorrow's herb is going to change all this because DNA is not your destiny. And the truth is down the middle. But when all is said and done, what you're left with as the consumer, as the public, as the guy that knows a lot about what you know about and nothing about DNA, what you're left with when all is said is done is nothing is written in stone. And every disease has people who have cured that disease. And no disease is curable all the time, as the statistics will tell you. And that's for a variety of reasons, none of which have to do with an immutable fate. None of which have to do with the fact that there was no option for that individual. They had to succumb to that disease. No, there's pragmatics, practicalities. Can you put the time in? Do you have the education to? What are you up against? Can you let go of the things you have to let go of to heal the disease? So you're never going to get a standardized answer to the question of, can my disease cure? So life is not black and white, but you already know that. How do we fill in the gaps between that defect that life is not black and white? It's not as simple as you throw the ball up and you can bet good money it's going to come down. What can you bring to this quandrum, this paradox? You can bring education. And that's why I do this show. Because the more you understand, the more you can really get what you're dealing with. Because you're going to deal with this. We're approaching 1 out of 2 people will have cancer. In the United States of America, at least, over 10 years, the cancer rate will go to 1 out of 2. Tomorrow, I will teach a class at one of the local hotels. It's $150. It's 7 to 8 straight hours. It's a group. And we're going to go after how to prevent it, not cure it. I couldn't do that seminar in 100 hours. How to prevent it. To prevent it, to reduce dramatically the possibility that you might someday get it, is very much something you can take action. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you're interested in that seminar, that's tomorrow, Sunday, July 7th, 11 a.m. to 6 or 7 p.m., depending on it. It's probably about the ninth seminar I've done with the same group, but we have always room for my hotel group. And you just call if this is something you want to get education about. Because we are going to one out of two. Right now it's two out of five. Over 10 years, all estimates from the guys that don't make mistakes with numbers predict one out of two. What is going on, my friends? What is going on? All right, that's it. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.